Well, I'm pretty sure everybody's saved in here, sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's just let's have a word of prayer. And before we do that, I want to thank you all for coming, and I want to introduce my wife, Gay. And we were just talking on the way up here. We'll put 44 years in our back pocket December 7th, but 48 years since we met. And so it's been... It's been real good. It really has. She's a 31er. We lived on 31, and she's a Proverbs 31 woman. She rises early and blesses me every day. Really does. Bless you, Gay. We have two wonderful boys, and we have five grandchildren. We got one in a hangar. And it's a little boy, so we'll have three boys and three girls and one set of twins. And so let's see, what are they? All under five except one, and she's 13. And it's they've kind of all been a surprise in a way. But one of the greatest things I want to tell you about this, God is so good. I have my baby sister. You may not know this. Her son is going to have a child, her and his wife. And my sister is just ecstatic. And because they've told her all along, we're not having children. And my sister loves kids. And so who else loves kids that you know? Huh? Whose kids are we? We're God's kids, aren't we? So anyway, let's pray. Father, we sure thank you and praise you. And we just give you glory, Lord. We thank you. It's just a privilege, Father, to say that we're in the kingdom of you, Father. Our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, Father, and you give us the instructions and the directions and to follow to bring the kingdom here on earth. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you. It's obedience that brings a blessing, because you've already got it headed our way, Lord. And we just thank you today that we have ears to hear, and a mouth to proclaim, and eyes to see the wonderful goodness of you, Father God. And I just take authority over every negative spirit that has tried to hinder anyone here in this room or this conference in any way, in the mighty name of Jesus. I say you have no place here. The name of Jesus is above you, and we command you to be gone and bound up and go back to hell where you belong. You have no place here. And I loose the spirit of you, Father God, to manifest here in this service and all these services in the mighty name of Jesus, and we give you glory. Holy Spirit, have your way. Give me the utterance and give them ears to hear, because I know, Father, you have something for each and every one of us. And we just thank you, Father God. We're just in agreement like in the upper room. We want more of your word rising up in us and manifesting in our lives. And you're going to show us how to do that today, Lord. And we thank you for it and praise you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to, the theme of the conference is redemptive bondage. And I want to break words down so that we can understand what we're talking about, because so many times we just come and we just, redemptive bondage, and we really don't even remember. I'm as guilty as the next person. And so redemptive means we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed. Well, bondage, that we all know what bondage means. We were all in bondage. And some of us are still in bondage, only to the fact that it's worldly bondage. It's not anything to do with God, because when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were free from bondage. And we need to get excited about that. And Kelly, just to meet it, he just fires me up. Because, amen. That's what I want to hear. Amen. I want interaction here, because we have something to shout about. Sister Nancy and I was talking that before y'all got here, and it's like, it's a party. It's a party. When you start meditating on the Word of God and realizing what in the world He has done for us, it's a party. It's a party. We've got no reason to be down whatsoever. But down tries to come. But what it is, we speak to down, as Nancy and I was saying. We rebuke that thing right now in Jesus' name. And I want to know if everybody is free right now. I mean, do you feel any heaviness on you at all? Because we want to get rid of it. We don't want to have it. Because you know why? It just keeps flustering in your mind, and it just, you can't concentrate, you know, because the word's coming forth, and like Nancy said, we're a light, and we want that light to go in there. Well, you know what, if the enemy's talking to you, well, I don't know, this guy might be a little nuts, you know, it's like, we don't want that, because there's nothing uplifting about that, you, me, or God anyway. So is everybody in good order? If they're not, just put your hand up and we'll just pray right now, because we used to do that in Bible college. You know, we come in there to take a test and we're all just a shaking like this. Well, I'm not going to make it. Instructor comes in and, all right, let's just all pray. And we're all ready to take the test. And Father, we just thank you for this brother right now. We just thank you, Father, that your name is above every name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, I thank you. He has proclaimed you. And Father God, he has lifted you up as his Lord and Savior. And I thank you right now. We just come in agreement right now. Right now, Father God, and we declare he is the righteousness of you in this land, Father God. The same Spirit that lives in him is the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus up from the dead. And I thank you, Father, we declare and proclaim his name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We come in agreement with you that no weapon formed against him shall prosper. He's the head and not the tail. He's blessed in the city and he's blessed in the field. Everything he puts his hand to will prosper. His feet are shod with the gospel of peace. He has a helmet of salvation on, and his loins are girded with the truth, Father God, and he has a breastplate of righteousness, Father God. The breastplate of righteousness. There is no fiery dart coming near you in Jesus' name. So we say peace now, peace, and we thank you, Father. Peace reigns in him, Father God, and we come against anything that's been spoken against him in word, Father, in action, by seeing him. Father, we thank you that he is not what people have said. Every word that rises against him will fall into judgment of you, Father God, and your word will abound in him and will rise in him. And Father God, you will exalt him. You would do his battles, Father God. And I thank you that you've prepared a table for him in the midst of the enemies, Father God. And I thank you, Father God. Vengeance is yours. Vengeance is yours. And I just loose a spirit of praise to come upon this brother, a spirit of praise, a spirit of might, and a spirit of joy beyond anything he's ever experienced. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare and decree it for your glory, Father God, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Well, we've already practiced the bondage part. We're getting rid of it. We're getting rid of that stuff that holds us back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to explain this, and I never even, you're keeping track of time, right? Okay. Hallelujah. Pray in the Spirit just a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to explain to you why I'm going to say you instead of we. And because, you know, the right vernacular would be when you're ministering the word, you say we. But today it's going to be you, because I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. The Word of God talks to you. It's not talking to you. It's talking to you. Oh, it's talking to you. Are you the apple of God's eye? You're his favorite. Well, I'm his favorite. Makes no difference. You're the reason he came back. All right, so we're going to use you so we can bring this thing home and get a real clarification of what Jesus has done for us and where we're all at in the mix of all this stuff. So the scripture we want to read is Matthew 22, verse 37. And if you want to turn there, tell me if you want to, or you just want me to read it, because we're free people here today. Hallelujah. Thanks, Mike, for helping us here. Hallelujah. It says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. Now look at me here. Here's our heart. Here's our heart. Okay. Here's our mind, and our soul is inside. Mind, will, and emotions. And so we are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. And so these three commands are the process of God helping us to operate in love. And so we want to look at what God is really saying in this passage. It's the great command that he tells us to do, to love him. It's the first thing, love him. And the next thing, it's all about you. It's all about you. He created us to worship him and to praise him. He created us to be blessed. Hi, staffer. Hallelujah. 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 Mary Beth, we're just going to pray for you, because we just had prayer for anyone that, you know, has had anything. And I know you've just been busy running and everything, and I want you to be able to receive everything that God has for you today. So, you know, we learned this in the prayer room. I worked prayer room at a major ministry for years, and people come in to pray and they think they're ready, but they're really not, because they hurried, maybe they was cut off on the way to traffic, and they just need that peace so that they can receive and to minister, because you need to receive from God and then you need to minister. And then plus, she's my sister. The Lord's told me she's my real sister. So we just bless you. And then we pray them out. After you minister to everybody on the phone, you pray them out so they can go home. Because, you know, you minister to somebody. Somebody comes in and says, you know, calls in and they says, I want to kill myself. Now, you really got to be flowing to get rid of that. So, you know, the Bible says two or more touch and agree, it shall be done. We always want to remember to touch and agree with God's Word. Not somebody, God's Word. God's Word. So, Father, we thank you now for our sister. We just thank you. We just cast everything off of her. It's of the world to try to gather itself, put around her to hold her up in any way. But I thank you, the angels have brought her here. And Father, we just speak peace to her, and we speak peace to her mind. We thank you. We declare she has ears to hear, a mouth to proclaim, and eyes to see the miracles you have for her today. Father, I thank you. She'll lay hands on the sick and they'll rise, Father God. And I thank you that no weapon formed against her shall prosper, because she is the head and not the tail. You are Jehovah Jireh, her provider. And we thank you. You are Jehovah Shalom, her peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shandala baka. So, you know, we want to understand that God has got your best interest in mind when he says, I want you to love me. And we know that God is the light. He's the light. He's what we need. And he's everything we need. So you must read the Bible looking for Jesus and the process for you to be victorious. Not for someone else to be victorious, but for you to be victorious. Because sometimes we'll read the Word and we'll think, boy, that'd be great if Bobby could hear that. I don't know why he doesn't get that page. I've told him 30 times about that. And for somebody, do you know John 3:16? That's how you get saved. And it's like, he doesn't read it. He doesn't read it, you know. He needs to read it for himself. That's our instructions. So, anyways, God is all about you. That is why he says, you are the apple of his eye. You're his favorite. You're his favorite. And you will learn that as you interact with God and you have a relationship with him. You know, relationships don't just happen, boom, like that. They just don't happen. Because there's something we want to remember as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And can I use you, Kelly? Okay. Kelly's flowing in the Spirit, and I see he's got, what is that dirt in your ear? Oh, God. My goodness. Kelly's trying to preach, and he's got dirt in his ear. Now, see, I've taken him out of the Spirit realm, and a man of God, I've moved him over here in the flesh. And we can't do that. Because you know what? You don't like everybody in this room. You don't need to kid ourselves. We don't, you know. But in the heart of Jesus, we love each one another. But if we look at one another in the flesh, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly. And it's not going to turn out good for who? You. You know why? Because the devil is after you. He's not after that one. He's after you. He works the same way that Jesus did, just in a total darkness. Total opposite. You know, and he has, you know, he's failing all the time because there's no life in him. He's failing. He's forgetful. That's why he's the author of confusion. Because he doesn't remember what he did to you to help you get somewhere. He doesn't remember that. You remind him. You remind him when you say, Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I don't know. I think I'm catching a cold. I think I'm... He wants a cold. We'll give him a cold. You know? So you reminded him that he gave you a cold. How many people say, well, we had the flu last year. We had it last year. I expect I'll get it this year. Expectancy is the breeding ground of miracles. Expectancy can be the breeding ground of death. You can expect bad things. They will happen. And that's one of the first things a pastor told me. He was actually preaching it. He said, you put something away for a rainy day, and you're expecting it, you'll spend it on a rainy day. You know, and his wife, and that's another thing about faith. You know, it's faith in God. Faith in God, not Sister Sue or Bobby Joe or Pastor Jimmy. It's not faith in them. It's faith in God. And he told a story. They were over in Africa, I think it was. And his wife was just having a time, and she was supposedly believing, you know, for her healing. And he said, you know, you just need to take that aspirin because that's where your faith is. He said, take the aspirin. God's not going to be mad. Take the aspirin. God is not mad. Sometimes we can't get there ourselves because of all the memories, all the bondages. And that's why the Bible says, come together because fire starts fire. Iron sharpens iron. And you will get something every time you come in a corporate fellowship. Anytime, if you're hungry. If you're not hungry, if you're just there to watch the movie, that's what you'll see, the movie. You'll see everything that ever bothered you in your whole life, the red flag will go up. If Sister Susie had her hair the way you didn't like it, and she changed it and it really upset you, and you're in a church and Sister Susie isn't in there, I guarantee you there'll be a Sister Susie in there. And it'll be there. That's the way it works. But you know, we're not moved by what we see. That's how the devil works. He's a flesh god. He moves by what he sees. He does not move by the spirit. He moves by flesh in our lives. That's how he works. You know, he is a spirit, of course, but he moves in your life by fleshy things, like you trip your foot into the thing, and you may go into, we always said, you either fuss or cuss. You know, so what's in you comes out. So be attentive to what you're hearing or watching or listening to. Be attentive to it. You can't stand around and laugh with a bunch of guys that's carrying on about joking about somebody. For instance, you know, most guys, and I've worked around plenty of women, and I'll tell you, they're just as bad. They're just as bad. And I'll tell you, I worked at a hospital, and those nurses, I mean, you know, we're kind of clumping things, but... They're pretty free, the ones that are the world, you know. And that's the way it is with the guys. They're pretty free, the ones that are of the world. But what happens is, here we are, we're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and we're sitting over here, and I heard Kenneth Copeland say this one time, you can play a song, next thing you know, you're tapping your foot. And he said, next thing you know, you're singing that song down there. And so that's the way it is when we listen to stuff that's not right. It's coming in, because like I told Kelly, he said he might go to sleep on the couch or rest on the couch. I said, don't go to sleep. But I said, that's okay if you do, because I said, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, not by seeing. Okay? So we take attention and heed to what you hear so that you will be taking in the right things. Okay. Picture putting your name in the Bible where it needs to be read. And picture yourself, because God is talking to you. He's not talking to anyone else but you. So I want to go over to Psalm 23. Now, this is something I learned a long time ago, because, you know, sometimes you may just not feel like praying in the Spirit, and I mean in tongues. Because I've asked a lot of people, I said, do you pray in the Spirit? Yeah. It's important to know when you're talking to people that they actually understand what you're talking about. Because a lot of people say, well, I'm praying in the Spirit. Are you praying in tongues? No. How are you praying in the Spirit? Somebody asked, is there an answer for that? other than no. You can't pray in the Spirit if you're not praying in tongues, because that's the language God gave us. In Acts 2, he told him to go there and tarry there. They'd be endued with power so they could go out and be a witness. You can't be a witness if you ain't prayed up. It's self-righteousness. That's what it is. It's pride. I'm gonna go witness. If you're not prayed up, there's not going to be any overflow. So a lot of the times, because you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, is there anybody here that doesn't pray in tongues? Just hold your hand up if you don't. You don't? Okay. Anyone else? What about you, young man with your hat on there, Travis? Do you pray in the Holy Spirit? You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Okay. And Eric, you have been, haven't you? Eric? Yeah, okay. So we got, yes, amen. So you get out the Word of God, and Miss Gay and I did this one time. We were coming from Colorado, and we were praying for this person, and when I pray in the Spirit, this is what happens for me. And I don't believe it should be any different than anywhere, because when you pray in the Spirit, there ought to be scriptures running all the time. You know, they're coming up, because God knows what He's put in you. And so when you're praying in the Spirit, you'll be getting a scripture. Now, you also might be getting a direction, but it should line up with scripture. That's what you got to line up. You know, Nancy said, I look for that place. We look for the cross. We look for the cross. You know, some things pass through the cross or come to the cross and stop. They don't go any farther. Other things pass through. We're going to find out this scripture that we're talking about pass through. Okay? Having that love the Lord God with all your heart. We're going to find out that pass through. And we're going to find out why it did. Because God didn't love those people any less in the Old Testament than He does us. We're all the same. And He's no respecter of persons. So, I want to read 23 out loud over all of you. And that's what I'm going to say is all of you. Okay? And you know, here's another good thing, Mike. The Word of God is not taught. It's caught. It's caught. You can hear the Word of God, but you've got to own it. You've got to take it and own it. You've got to catch it. Got it? Catch it. There's a good amen right there. Let it be. Okay. The Lord is all your shepherd. All of you shall not want. Let's get the helpers out here. He maketh all of you to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth all of you beside the still waters. He restoreth all of your soul. He leadeth all of you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though you all walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you all shall fear no evil, nor shall any rod or staff, wait a minute, you shall fear no evil. You all shall fear no evil, for Thou art with you all, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort all of you. Thou preparest a table before all of you in the presence of all of your enemies. Thou anointest all of your heads with oil, and all of your cups run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow all of you all the days of your life, and all of you will dwell in the house forever, God's house forever. Now, you know, I heard a person preach one time, if you can't get that, your wood is wet. Your wood is wet. If you can't dance to that, we need to pray for you, for the celebrating spirit to come on you, because we are to celebrate the Lord God Jehovah. So practice putting God's name in those places when you just can't seem to get anything together. If that's all you can get is 23, just read 23. God will start working in it, because it's spirit to spirit. It's nothing to do with your head. God empowers us to be able to do all that He asks us. Otherwise, He would not be glorified. You would be. And He says, I'm going to share my glory with no man. So these are important things that we remember. Now then, we're going to get to Deuteronomy 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord God your commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which he command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that the days may be prolonged. So we're supposed to be telling of these good things of God to our sons and their sons, and so that their days may be prolonged. So it evidently is we must be the messengers. God wants to use us for messengers. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Now how many people say, I'm just not prospering? You know, if you're not careful, you open your mouth and you reveal a lot that you don't even know you're revealing. So you look like you're right on. So you open your mouth and you know it's like you got to watch what you're saying. You got to watch what you're saying, because the devil comes to destroy. That's his whole mission, to take you out. And God's whole mission is to give you life. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto the children, and shalt talk of them which thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So the word of God should be on your mouth all the time, even in the Old Testament. Nothing's changed, has it? It's that way today. It's supposed to be. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. Sounds like there's a blessing there. It's made for you already. And houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou didn't diggest, vineyards and olive trees which thou didn't plantest. You know how long it takes to do that? So God's been getting this stuff ready. He's getting it ready for his children. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. There's a lot of people swear by his name, but it's in the wrong venue, isn't it? You shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are around about you. Now, if we read on here, we're coming right into the Big Ten. Well, now, really think here before you raise your hand. How many of us do that? How many of you do that? Get it down to individual. How many of you have done these things? You're Christians. How many of you have done them? Well, that's a good answer. That's an excellent, perfect answer, because we all fall short. We all fall short. And so, just how long have I got? Oh. Well, anyway, just because of time, I'm not going to read the rest of the Ten Commandments there, but that's what God said to do. He said, you know, you're to love your neighbor, you're not to steal, you're not to commit adultery, all those things. That stuff passed right through the cross. Nothing changed. Do you think it changed? Anybody think it changed? Gay's shaking her head. Yes, it changed. You're shaking your head. No, didn't change. Okay, so we're 50-50. So, now, remember back here, heart, soul, and mind. Okay, so if you're filled with the Spirit, is your mind renewed? Yep. It says you have the mind of Christ if you pray it in the Spirit. I don't see anything here about the mind. It says might. It's a flesh thing. You had to perform and you had to do on your own. You had to perform these things. You did everything you had within you to get this done. It's just like if you have a heavy chair and you're trying to get it over here and you just ain't strong enough to get her done. It never moves. You never get this right because we fall short of the glory of God. Why do you think Jesus came? That's the difference, folks. God has enabled us with His grace and the Holy Ghost to love our neighbor, but most important, to love God. You never loved God before you got saved. You heard about Him, you wondered about Him, you knew about Him. He was out there, just same as Billy Bob up there in Waterford, where we're at now. You heard there's a Billy Bob up there, you don't know nothing about him, but you hear he's a good man. He's a good man. Billy Bob in Waterford is a good man. Do you know him? No. I don't know him. Well, maybe somebody's lying. Huh? How do you know somebody till you embrace and have a relationship? You know, how do you know? All right. What's different today? What's different today? God has empowered us to know the Holy Spirit. And how do you do that? Know God by the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? You're baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's your heavenly language, because the devil takes your earthly languages and interrupts it. Daniel said, how come you didn't answer my prayer? 21 days. You know, 21 days to some of us could be the end of the time. You know, we're praying in the wrong language, people. We're praying in the wrong language. He can intercept that. He can't intercept tongues. And He can't stop God's word coming to you. This is our direction. This is our life. And it's just like that book when you get a new car. Most of us, if we get a new car, we don't know anything about it. Nothing. How many of us read the book? Very few. We hunt and go ask Billy Bob again how to run the radio. How in the world does these seats work? What is air conditioning in the back seat? How does that work? I don't know. You just keep pushing buttons and asking everybody you run to. And some will read a little bit of the instructions. But what do you think they sent that book? To help you. To help you enjoy that car. God sent us this book. Took time to go through people's lives and download into them so that we can read this book and have heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. Is that free from bondage? That's free from bondage. And if we don't pray in the Spirit and we don't read the book, you think we're going to be free from bondage? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So, what happened? Grace. Grace. The law stopped on this side of the cross, the left side. I'm right-handed, we're going right. And so, we go through. We love God, but He says, I know you can't get it right, but I'm going to help you because I love you. Kelly, I'm going to help you because I love you. Awesome. I'm going to help you. You need help? I'm going to help you. God told me to come over and help you. Will you receive it?
I will.
Oh, you will? You'll receive it? You'll receive it? Is that a word? You got to receive the things of God. You just can't say, I hope so. You know, Point of Hope Ministries? You know what they bring? They bring hope that Christ will help you. That's what it's about. You know, you shouldn't even be there, to tell you the truth. But why do they have Nancy running all over the country doing mission work? Because people have lost their hope. They don't know where their hope is. Their hope is in Christ. Your hope was fulfilled the day you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. You shouldn't be in hope no more. You should go, man, that's mine. I'm taking it. I'm receiving it. I'm not confessing this stuff that's not right anymore. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm set free, Nancy says. Exactly. I agree with her because that's the word. Watch what you're agreeing with people. Look, will you pray for me? I'm sick. You are? See, already they've claimed it. Now we got to rebuke the devil in their mind because they've claimed it. They've come in agreement with the doctor. Now, are they Christians? Yes. Do they mean well? Yeah. They're just wrong. They're just wrong. They've just been probably taught wrong. They might have been taught mixture, you know, law and grace. And you know what grabs hold of law and grace? The flesh. The flesh grabs hold of the law. You know why? Because you can see it. You can feel it. You can touch it. And it'd be, I can do this. I can get through this curtain right here. I can get through it. I can see an opening there. I can do it. God says, stand there until somebody opens it. You know how many times I've stood in, I've driven truck for over 40 years, and coast to coast. You know how many times I've stood in a bathroom just standing there waiting for somebody to open the door? Many, many times. You know how quick it is? Just like that. Because I don't want my hands dirty. You can't get there. And if you see all them people, I've been in truck stops where these these little kids come in here, and I know you've seen it. They don't got no shoes on. No shoes on. And you think that urinal is a play toy. And I've picked them up, and I go, get back away from there. I go, what in the world are you doing, Dad? Now, I'm telling you the truth. He goes, oh, you're right. I never thought. He's just over there fiddling around. Hurry up, boys. Hurry up, boys. Anybody in there? And they look down on the floor like this. There's nobody in there, Dad. Can I go in? Yes, sir. I'm telling you, the world needs an awakening. Now, God's our Father, and there's different times that we're raised up, and I feel like I'm your father now. I've got enough years I could be some of you's father. That's what's wrong with a lot of men. They don't have fathers. I had a father, but I was never close to him. But I had a grandfather. I was very close to him. And so we wonder why guys are having trouble being a dad, being a husband, whatever. Usually you're just a product of what you've seen. You know, I'm no different than anybody else, and you have to work through it. But I'm telling you, God says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you may not have had a daddy, but I'm telling you, you got a daddy that's better than your daddy that walked the earth. Because he said, if you'll give him a fish, how much more better will I take care of him? And I was molested by a homosexual, and I really don't trust men. I don't care who you are. I don't really trust you. I got to know you by the Spirit. I got to know you by the Spirit. And if I don't know you by the Spirit, you won't see me around you. I don't treat you any different. But when you're saved at a little boy, and you go to church, and you're molested by a Sunday school teacher, it don't make you want to go back. I can guarantee you that. But I kept going back. And there's a lot, you know, involved in that. I walked away from a job because of that. Because this guy's here. And, you know, let me tell you the hardest thing you ever have to do. You're taking a shower. You know how guys do at work. Girls probably don't know it, but they all take showers and stuff like that. And it's not as bad today, but back when I was working, it didn't much matter. You took a shower and everybody's there. Some of them was just like we had in phys ed in school, you know, big box and you go in there and shower. Okay. And I'd be showering, he's standing there looking at me. I'm telling you this for a reason. Because God will require things of you. Now, was I bound or was he bound? He was bound. But what was trying to happen? The devil was trying to bind me up. So I get away, and I didn't go to church for years. And you know, brother, I put a bulldozer blade in a guy's belly for throwing a rock at me. I walked out on the hood of the bulldozer and I said, you do that again, I'll cut you right in two. And I meant every word of it. And I don't say that with pride or honor. But you know, you think, oh gosh, this guy's got it all together. There ain't nobody got it together. Nobody. Jesus is the only one that has it together. And he's the one to help us. And when I used to go to prisons and minister, you walk in there, you better be prayed up because there's these guys standing there, these honey buns. They're standing there like, well, who do you think you are? Well, I'll tell you who I am. I'm a child of God, and I come in to tell you the good news. And you got 13 people in there and 14 around the wall, but the 13 come to hear. Well, it's our will. It's our will. We have to lay our will down. So, I go. I'm in church, and the Lord says, I want you to go and ask that guy for forgiveness. I said, are you kidding me? Nope. So who was bound now? Huh? God's trying to protect me. He's trying to get me set free. Because this is the truth. Me and another guy dumped Playboy magazines off in his driveway. Thinking, you need a girl. You need a girl. Now, how wrong was that? But, I mean, you know, we're young. 13, 14. What do? Oh. Well, we know what he needed. Well, so, boy, this ain't in the notes, I can tell you that. But this is for somebody. I'll tell you why this is here. It's to get you all set free and on the right track. Because it's not the other guy binding you. You're binding yourself by having those bad thoughts, those bad intentions. You may just want to punch that person. God says, love him. What's he do? Take your shirt off. Give it to him. Give it to him. Now, you'll get to walk in that many different times if you're going to walk in the world. And if you're going to walk in the blessing, you're going to be obedient to it, to do it. So I said, all right, Lord. So me and Miss Gay, years later, I don't even know how many years, and it don't matter. And believe me, I wouldn't have any trouble saying this if the guy was sitting right there. Wouldn't bother me a lick. And figured out where he lived, went out there. And to top it all off, this is what's really good. This is really good. Because this is how stupid people are. You just got to call it what it is. It's stupid. I tell my best friend, I said, keep your boy away from him. Keep your boy away from him. Oh, he's all right. He's all right. This is what I dealt with all the time. He's okay. It's kind of like those hearings, you know. It's like, who do we believe? Well, you got to have facts. Facts. The fact is, he's messed with me. I know what he does. Well, you never messed with me. Well, you want to advance? Grab hold of the truth. Somebody's telling you the truth, grab hold of it. So you don't have to go through that same problem. What did Jesus do? He died for us all, so we don't have to go through none of this stuff. We got to hear. We got to hear. We got to catch that word. You just can't hear the word. You got to catch the word. So, me and Miss Gay's in the vehicle. We go out there. I'm just shaking like a leaf. Praying in the Holy Ghost, just a shaking. And I go up there and tap, tap, tap. Nothing, nothing. Tap, tap, tap. I see him coming through there. He had one of them doors you could see. And he come through there and he saw me. And turned around and went back. I said, oh, now, Lord, what do I do? He said, you done what I asked you to do. Been free of that stuff. Amen. Been free of it. No more. No more hindrances. And God wanted me free because he knew. He knew everything, all the intricals, and more than I even begin to know, he knew what was trying to be done and trying to work. So you not only stop the curse on yourself, generations behind you. Stop it. Just stop it. And it said right in there, tell your children, tell your grandbabies about Jesus. So, Dash, brother, I tell you, honest to God's truth, you remind me of a service I preached one time on a Sunday evening. God said, you're going to preach to him. And I said, Lord, he ain't even here. In the middle of the service, I'm just praying. And I said, Lord, where's Kenny? Where's Kenny? He'll be along. He'll be along. And I said, he didn't even hear the message. He comes in right at the altar call. And it's what I feel like with you. I'm just preaching to you. It's changing your life. You know, and I say that with all respect and honor. And I have an altar call. Here Kenny walks in the door. I want prayer. Who do you think I prayed for first? Bam! He hits the ground. I prayed for everybody. The anointing was so strong, I went into a corner and cried. I cried because God knows what he's doing. And when he uses you such a powerful way, you can't help but cry. Because it humbles you to think that God Almighty knew where Kenny was going to be, where I was going to be, prepared me, study, and I'm preaching. And I know I'm not even preaching to the choir, not even preaching to none of them. But when Kenny walked in, boy, it's just like God had him right up there. And he got up and he goes, how'd you know that, John? How'd you know that? I said, well, Lord showed me. Good. That's been years ago, and I got all kinds of stories like that. But you know what? You got all kinds of stories like that as well. And what's the Bible say? We're kept by our testimony. And when you have a testimony that God's used you, how can you not love Him? How could you even think about getting mad at Him? I've never been mad at God in my life, and I hold both my hands up. I never have had that issue because I've been mad at everybody else. Both hands up. God knows I'm telling the truth. I hate it when people don't walk the way they should be. So I have to spend more time in the closet than maybe the next guy. Because you know what the Bible says? You're lacking love. And what did God tell me to preach on? I shared this the other night. God told me back in 87, 88, I want you to preach on love. He knew what I needed. He knew what I needed. Because when you... I don't know how many different ways you could go by preparing this message about love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. You can go any way you want. It'll never end till the day we die. It'll never end because God says, seek me first, the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Unto you. And you notice in the scriptures we're reading, it says, thy. That means you. You shall. You shall. You shall. He's not saying we or me and you or the whole bunch of us. Ewans. Yeah, he's saying thy. This is what thy shall do if you want to be blessed. So where do we run into problems then? What's the problem here of being able to love God with all of our heart? How many of you has run into that problem where it's like, now I can say this, that I haven't always ran after God, you know, even a week ago, even yesterday. Because, you know, every time goes by, it's a new time for us. We've never been there before. You know, I'm a daddy, but I've never been a daddy today. Today's a new day. Work out your salvation daily. Completeness. Work out that completeness each day. So where do we run into problems? Where's the problem that we have that we can't run to God? Or we just don't do what we're supposed to do? Where is it? One word. What is it? Do we know? It's all right. There's no condemnation. Well, so I don't put anybody on the spot. Huh? Will. Will you? Will you? Will. Or will. Will we receive what God has done for us, the finished work? Will we receive it? That's why I asked Brother Kelly, I said, will you receive my help? Some people won't. I wish I had some money to eat on. Here's $5. Oh, I can't take that. No, I can't take that $5. God will bring it along. He will. You watch. Stupid. Stupid. You just got to call it what it is. You know, our battle's not with flesh and blood, but of principality, spiritual, and heavenly places. Principalities, powers, and evil spirits. That's where your battle is. It's not with Jim Bob or Susie Q. It's not. You may be mattering a hornet and flipping like a fish on the land. It's not with them. We've got to rise up and say, devil, you ain't taking no more ground. You are not coming in here no more. And Joyce Meyer, she wrote the book, you know, where is the battlefield? It's in the mind. Because if he can get your mind, he's got your goods. But let me tell you something. I asked Sister Nancy today, and that's why I appreciated you so much last night. When you can set them feet to dancing, you got the victory. And I was sharing with Nancy and about me and Mary Beth talking last night. You know, we've all been in the world somewhere, somehow. Whether we actually participated in it to a certain level, we only know, each of us, what that level was. But the majority of us, teeny boppers, or on up into our 20s, or maybe on up into our 50s, 60s, whatever. You go to work, you get off. I'm going down to Joe's Bar and Grill. Susie's down there. She's a good looker. And I like their beer. Their beer is good. And there's a little weed down there. And I think I'll just have me a little sniff of that. Today, it's a little different, probably. But you know how you got there? Because you're empty. We were all empty. And there's a good place to say we. We were all empty until we had Jesus. Now, some of us had Jesus and we went anyway. You know, any difference? Nope, we're still empty. Just still empty. And we go down there and cut the rug. Just dance and carry on and sing and hug Bob when you're drunk and you hate Bob, but you hug him because you're drunk, you see. Then you're not real careful. You might get in a fist fight, you know. But what we were looking for, what was we looking for? Acceptance? Love? Just somebody to say, hey, you're all right. Well, let me tell you, there's no man ever going to tell you that 24/7 because it ain't going to happen. You're not going to be there. That's a lie. You're never going to be there. But when Jesus looks at you, he looks at you in the spirit, and you are perfect in every way. And he loves you. And that's how you'll rise above the things of the world, rise above the challenges of the flesh, rise above the challenges of the world to run to him, the author and finisher of our faith. And there's where the bondage breaker comes in. He is the way maker. The anointing destroys the yoke. And I'm not veered from my notes very well, very much. And you see, this is probably where the majority of us are, right there. But on Sunday, let me get up to there. You know, we're doing lots better. You know, because we've come to church and we've got the word. Plus, we've had brothers and sisters love on us. And you know, fire starts fire. And we've all been there. Now then, here's Monday. Here's Monday. And, well, I've got to be so gentle with this. Because you know how the enemy is. He's in sheep's clothing. And, come out of there. Okay, now look there. We're spirit, soul, and body, aren't we? Huh? That's just kind of working out real good because it's staying out of the middle. That's where your spirit is. But it says grieve not the Holy Spirit. He's getting grieved right now because contamination is coming in and you're allowing it. You're allowing it. So, gosh. Ran into Bobby. How come you ain't praying, John? Oh, yeah, yeah. I better pray, hadn't I? Yeah, I see you got a little foolishness going on there. Better pray. Here comes a little more water. Look, it's kind of clearing up a little bit, but it's not as, it's solidifying. So we just, maybe I better pray some more. I'm feeling a little better. A little more water of the Word. A little more Holy Spirit coming up out. Gosh. Oh, it's Saturday. Saturday. Whew. We're going to church in the morning, aren't we, Gay? I need to go. I really need to go. You do? I know I do, honey. I know. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Pastor's preaching on praying in the Spirit. Whew. Did you pray in the Spirit, John? A little bit. I'll come just a little bit. I didn't feel like it. Just a little bit. God quickened me. I was going to Huntington, West Virginia one time. God was dealing with me about praying in the Spirit. This is a true story. True story. Pulling a lithotripsy trailer, breaks up kidney stones. Taking it down there to Cabell Huntington Hospital. And God's dealing with me all the way down about praying in the Spirit. And it's like, why don't you pray in the Spirit? I didn't feel like praying in the Spirit, so I didn't pray in the Spirit. Went down there, wasn't no issue. God didn't say nothing else. And so I pull down there, pull on the lot and back up. Here's a security guard up on the side of my truck. I knew he was coming, and I knew right then I was in trouble. And I go, what is it? I've been witnessing this guy about Jesus. and he's unsaved. I've been witness to him about it. He said, we got a little boy up there in a hospital, 10 years old, hit with a car. And he said, I told him you knew God, and you could help him. He goes, they don't expect him to live. He's barely making it. I said, you did. He said, yeah. And I said, he goes, I'm going up there to land a helicopter. And he said, I'll be back down to get you. And I said, yeah, I got to go pray. What do you think I did? What did I do, Nancy? Repented. I changed my mind immediately. I was going to pray. Now then, I'm thinking, you're going to use me, God? How are you going to use me? I wasn't even obedient. You think the rules, the law wasn't coming at me like boom, 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 shotgun, 12 gauge, 20 gauge, two barrels, whatever. It was coming at me hard. Heard Rodney Howard Brown say one time, he said, he was living in a motel, come over from Australia in Kentucky, and he says he couldn't pray. The kids wanted to play on the bed. Got three or four kids in a motel room, king-sized bed, and his wife. And he said, how in the world am I going to get ready for the ministry? And God told him, he said, if you ain't got it now, you ain't never going to have it. So these things come. It came today. So if you ain't got it, you ain't never going to have it. And you got it. You have it. You've been free from the bondage. So I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I missed you. Well, is that the last time I missed him? No, 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 no. So I'm telling you, I want you to walk with me, Kelly, because I want to show you what this guard did. This Kelly's going to be me. Come on, come on. This is him. This is him. He's coming. He's coming. We're going up the halls in a hospital. This is him. This is him. He's coming. Nurse, this is him. Oh, it's him? Yeah. Come on, come on. Now, over here, all you will be the family. You're all crying and bawling. And the pastor's over here, and he's crying and bawling. And he goes, come on, come on, come on. Okay, there you are. He's gone. He's gone. Okay, you can sit down. So here he is in the bed. He's in the bed, little boy, 10 years old. The EKG is barely moving. I mean barely. You can hardly see it. And the girl walks in, a nurse, real nice young lady, and she said, we've been praying for him. I said, good, good. I wasn't crying. And she said, just do whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do. So I go up there, I pray for him. I'm in my head. I can tell you right now, I'm in my head. And I'm praying. I'm not praying for my spirit. I'm praying. So I get back, and it's just like touching that wall back there. And I said, Lord, now this is not the only time this has happened that I backed up and said, Lord, what do I do now? What do you think he wanted me to ask the first time when I went in there? What do you want me to do? But I didn't do that. I prayed. I'm geared up. That's why we pray people in the prayer room. That's why we pray for Nancy before she's out there. You don't know any minister of anywhere go out to witness. You know, what is it? Witnessing 101, go out on the street. You better pray before you go because you've already noised abroad what's going to happen and the devil's going, you stay back here, you stay back here. I'm going to run this cat in here to mess things up. So I'm standing back like this. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I said, it's just like a wall. He says, tell him I love him. Tell him I love him. I said, okay, Lord. I get up here and I said, Jesus loves you. Over here is the nurse, screams at the top of her voice. And I look over there and she's going to the EKG thing, going like that. She goes, he's all right. He started moving a little bit. And the Lord said, you're done. So I walked out of there. That's all I knew. So I go down there and bawl again. Because that's what happens to me when God uses me a lot. Because I can't believe he uses me, Mary Beth. And I come back in next week. Up on that truck he is. He goes, he's all right. He's all right. He's alive. he's doing well. They got him up in Columbus rehabilitating. He said he's going to be perfect. I said, praise God. God can use anybody, anybody, and he can redeem anybody. And he's just looking for a few good men. But he says we can all do it if we'll just will to do it. So, you know, that's why we pray. And of course, as time goes on and everything, I've learned a lot. That's been many years ago. And I've learned a lot about praying in the Spirit. And, oh boy, this is tough right here. God. I'm going to shut that up, my God. Nancy said, you know, I just come to Nancy back here. Nancy from the south. And we got Nancy from the north. But Nancy from the south says, I just come to help people, to set them free. That's all I want to do is help people get to where they need to get. That's what I do. It doesn't matter if you come in a truck of where I work, you got something wrong with that truck, I'm going to help you fix it, and I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to say, that needs fixed. You need to get that done. And I go to Bible college. And this is in 94. And my heart's always been to pray and everything because that's the only way I knew to get God. I didn't even know God would come where he was. I always had to go to the church, to the altar, and pray. I didn't even know I could have God over in the field. I didn't even know that. And praise the Lord, I've got good roots. My family's given ground for churches, established churches. Back in the 1800s and stuff, and I believe I got to be a product of somebody's prayer. And we're standing there in a group. I didn't know no different. And they're praying, and I'm praying. And this brother, he says, stop. Stop. I suppose there's six of us there or something. Stand up, Mary Beth. He says, John, how in the world could you be in agreement with us and you're sitting there praying in English? You talk about hitting you right there. Right there. He says, you can't do that. You can't pray that way. Well, I started learning about prayer. You know, how can I be in agreement with Mary Beth if she's praying and I'm sitting over here just praying in English as hard as I can go and it's like she's praying for me and I'm supposed to be in agreement. I don't know nothing you're praying for me about. You understand? And I said, well, gosh, John, I never thought about it. I mean, it just hit me hard. It hit me hard. And thank you. So I learned right there, you know, you got somebody praying for you, shut your mouth and let them proclaim and declare the blessing over you. Receive it. Quit trying to help them. It's self-righteousness. And you may be doing it out of stupidity or just ignorance. The Bible says we're destroyed for lack of knowledge. God sent some wrong body to help me, to tell me. But I didn't see it that way at first. You know, just bam. I mean, hit me hard. But I knew he was a good brother, and we became pretty good friends. And you know, it helped me. And that's what this word's about today. Is you cannot love God if you don't pray in the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. You know why? Because you're doing it on your own intellect. You're having your own ideas of what you think love is, and we ain't never seen love until we receive Christ. All we've seen is a bunch of lust and want to be loving, you know? So, anyways, that opened my eyes about praying. And whenever anybody prays for me, I usually put my hands in the air. Do you know why that is? Surrender. I surrender to you, Lord. But let me tell you about, don't let everybody pray for you. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. And be, remember I said to be watchful of what you hear and what you take in. Some people mean well, but they're not praying a blessing over you. They aren't. If it's not the word, it's not a blessing. Because we all got ideas. They ain't going nowhere. God's not, he's not a respecter of person. It's the word that works. You know, and if you only know Jesus, that'll get her done. That'll get her done. Just do it from the heart. You know, you're not going to turn God and manipulate Him and everything. But remember, when all that stuff, this roughness comes around you, and you just turmoil and confusion, remember, the devil's after you. He's already got them. So what do you do? What's the Bible say to do in that situation? Pray for them, because they're despitefully using you. You pray for them that their eyes will be opened up, because they're ignorant of what's going on, because it's the enemy working in them to get to you. So we pray for them. And it can't get on you. How can you be mad at somebody you're praying for? I mean, it may be for a while, but eventually, if you're sincere, it'll go away. It'll go away. It's the same thing with sickness, disease, or anything. Find somebody that needs prayer if you're having an issue and hit it. And you'll find out that, you know, you're giving that no place. The Bible says give the devil no place. So you're praying for this person over here that supposedly has the same thing you do. And it's like, next thing you know, you're healed and they're healed. But they have to receive. Not everybody receives. And it's a sad thing. You know, and I'll tell you this story. A guy, my neighbor, was dying. And he's not saved. All he talks, what would you call it, a worldly talk. And a very wealthy man. And he's a good guy. And known him since I've been little. And he's in the hospital. Complications from an operation just went haywire. And he's dying. And sometimes you need help. You know, you ain't got it. You just, it's not in you. Because God said he was moved by compassion for healing. And so, thanks for coming, Debbie. God bless you. God bless you. God was moved by compassion, and we have to be moved the same way. Compassion is just a long word for love, you know? And I know Una knows how to do that, but I got that part right. That's a zero, isn't it? Oh, yeah, love. I don't. Is that a V or okay? What's an L? What's the other one? E. Oh, there we go. Love. Una. So I knew we needed help. Well, I'd listened to this guy for three years probably running across the Rockies. And Nancy, he's like the person you said. Half of you's going to get up and leave because I'm going to kill the cow and you're not going to like it, so just get going. And he is in Texas and he operates in a healing ministry. And he buried his little girl, and he said when that white casket hit the ground down there, he said, Lord, I want you to show me how to heal people, and I'll heal everybody you bring to me. Because he couldn't get anything done. And so he started in. He was a professional gymnast. He taught the military. He taught the policemen how to do karate and all this stuff. Tops in his field. He had six gyms. God told him to get rid of every one of them. He said, you're trying to kill people, and I'm trying to make them live. He said, get rid of them. So he started in, and he got rid of all of them, and he was a very wealthy man. Well, he said, now I got nothing. And so he has a little program on the radio, and this is his first time, and he said, if there's anybody out there that needs healed, call in. And he said, I'll come around and pray for you. Took him 2 years, day in and day out, all day long, to pray. Because people started coming to the house. They heard he was coming. And they'd heard he'd been over in the other village. So they start coming. Well, I listened to these tapes. These boys in Colorado said, you never heard of him? I said, no, I never heard of him. And he says, oh, well, you need to listen to him. I said, okay. So they give me this little thing. It has all the sermons on it and everything. All I got to do is turn it on. It starts in. I just listen to it day in, day out, day in and day out. Well, you think that won't build your faith. So He's only had one person that hasn't been healed. He said, I can't think of a highway that I've been on that I haven't healed somebody at the store or whatever. Now, you mind you that God is using him to heal. It's not anything other than his obedience. And he said, they were having a seminar like this, and one of the partners came in and says, my wife's in bad shape. He said, she needs prayer. He said, shut her down. There's only a few miles away, 30 miles away. He said, we're going down there. So they went down there, and this is how God shows you things. You remember I said to God, it's like laying your hand on a wall, Lord. He said the same thing. He said, Lord, he said, my prayers are dropping to the ground here. He said, nothing's going on. And so he said, went back in and prayed. He told the guy, he said, I'm leaving. She died. Rocked his world. I don't know the exact time, but it was just maybe 2 weeks or so. Because he'd been talking to God, no answers. Nothing. The guy, the husband walks in. He said, Curry, I need to talk to you. And he says, okay, let's talk. He said, I didn't tell you, but he said, me and my wife, we come into a covenant that we wouldn't raise either one of us from the dead if we were dying. He goes, oh, there's our answer. He said, there's no greater covenant than a man and wife on earth. Because that's us. We're walking here on the earth. So their covenant, God couldn't even get a hold of. You talk about powerful. You think of that. Why does the devil come against man and woman so much? Marriages. He knows. He knows. And we telegraph it when we get in awe or something like that. It's telegraphed. It's noise abroad what's going on. And so he starts in. These two stayed in covenant. But he broke covenant. But still, when you make a covenant and with God, and it can't be broken unless you break it. Well, they weren't in agreement about breaking it. He just didn't want her to die. And the man couldn't do nothing. God couldn't use him because he honors that covenant. Now, that's pretty powerful. So a lot of times, remember, when you're praying for somebody, ask God before you start praying. Pray in the Spirit and get direction, because you don't know nothing about them people until he tells you about them. And he will tell you. He will tell you. Not only for your protection, but for their advancement. And I'll tell you another thing about praying. Keep your eyes open. I haven't done it hard to hear it at all, but it's wise to keep your eyes open when you're praying for somebody. It's just wisdom. And so just realize that, you know, you might have made covenants and stuff that you didn't even know you did, but God has destroyed them. God has destroyed them. And you just come in agreement with his word so that his blessing will flow in your life. And you'll be a free-flowing stream. And are we about hour up or past? Or? Oh. Well, thank you all. But,
I figured the longer you talk, the less I have to.
Okay. But 2 Corinthians 3. Yes, I am. Thank you. So now we went to church on Sunday, and we've been praising God. And just look, as God's pouring in and coming up out of you, it's getting cleaner and cleaner and cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. And eventually, there's no contamination there. Thank you, Jesus. Look at that. Sunday afternoon of good word, good fellowship, and good praise. And it don't have to be at church. But God just says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves in the house of God. Make sure where you're assembling yourselves, you're getting the word. They're doing vertical praise. They're not just talking about Jesus and like an evangelism thing or something. But you're there to worship with your family. And as Mary Beth and I said last night, we don't need no funeral music. We need to celebrate. We need to celebrate. And I'm sorry I took your time. But anyway, this says here, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty to do all things. So the bondage breaker is alive and well in you, abiding in you and living in you. So just remember, heaven's a place. The kingdom is here on earth operating. And God said, bring it here. And He wants you to let that light shine. He is a power. And I just skipped through two or three pages here. He is a power, not you. He's the power, not you. If you will to let Him be the power. He's not an unrespecter. He respects what you say. If He didn't, He'd be a dictator and everybody would be saved right immediately. There's something I want to talk about. Just a second. You know, Jesus is not dying for Billy Bob over here today and Jimmy tomorrow. He died for everybody. And as far as He's concerned, everybody's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't want your name erased. He died for everybody. Don't matter who you are. And He's the forgiver. Can we do that? We can. But we have to really be in the Spirit. Because like I said, a lot of times we let stuff run together and we don't see the person in the Spirit. We just see the person the way they're acting. Everybody's guilty of it, and you have opportunity every day to walk in the Spirit. So just remember that salvation's free, and He sent His only Son. He's God, of course, but He came in the shape of a man, and He prayed for us before He left this earth. He prayed for us. He said, Lord, if they receive what these disciples have said, so it's been passed down in the Word, let the blessings be on them. I just kind of, you know, butchered that up. But anyway, that's the truth. He prayed for us before He ever ascended, and we'll see Him coming again. And we want to pray for this brother to be filled with the Holy Spirit because, you know, we don't want you to be a baby without food. You know, you need to meet. And if you're ready, if you want it, we will pray for you. That's okay, isn't it?
I'd rather you wait until after the impartation.
Okay. And you go forward to get prayed at the right time. So, because we want to be in order. You know, that's one thing in the book of Acts they talked about. They put everything in order. Everything in order before they were filled with the Spirit. So we stay in order. You're going to get filled. And thank you all for coming. And I'm sorry I took so long, but I'm kind of not sorry. But all right.